God bless everybody tonight. God bless you. God bless you. If you've got a Bible with you, turn to 1 Corinthians and chapter 10. And Paul was talking to the church here in Corinth. And he's talking about the things that the Corinthians are doing, the way that they're acting, the things that they're doing, and how they're doing demonic things. They're doing ungodly things. And he's going to be dealing with two things. How they bring themselves into fellowship with demons. You know that's possible. To bring yourself into fellowship with demons. And about the second part is not seeking your own. About not just doing things that benefit you, but doing things that benefit others. Because as a church, as a body of Christ, we're a body, aren't we? And we can't just think of ourselves. And I think that's one of the things that we learn as we become Christians, that it's just not all about me. All of a sudden there's other things I must consider. So let's just read, and I'm going to read a little way down, and then we'll stop, and then we'll have a time of prayer, and then... So it's chapter 10 and verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 14. Amen?
Amen.
And it says, therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. He's telling them to run away from idol worship. Run from idolatry. I speak to you as wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? He's talking about the bread and wine when we come around the Lord's table. He says, for we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. Observe Israel after the flesh, are not those who eat of the sacrifice partakers of the altar. And we're going to carry on reading now, and we'll try and finish the chapter off, but let's just pray. You know, maybe this is the first time you've ever been in a Christian meeting. Maybe you've been a couple of times, you haven't given your life over to the Lord, you haven't surrendered and become born again. But just as we bow our heads, we pray, whether you're a Christian in here or not, no matter what you think or who you believe in, just pray and ask the Lord to speak to you tonight. It's not about me or listening to anything I want to, or I've got to say. It's about having the Lord speak to you, whether you're a Christian or not in this place. Pray that God would speak to you. You don't have to call out in your own mind. Just pray and ask the Lord to show you, reveal himself to you. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I do praise you, my God, and I glorify your wonderful name. Thank you, Lord, for who you are, for what you've done. Lord, I lift your name on high, for you are worthy. And I pray, Lord, you reveal yourself, Lord, in this place, Lord, tonight. Lord, to every person in here, my Lord, we leave here differently, Lord, than when we came in. And it would have nothing to do with us, Lord, but all about you would bring glory to your name. Well, you're worthy, Lord, tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. So this is the Apostle Paul, St. Paul, and he's talking to the Corinthian church. And if we remember, Paul, when I preached last time, Paul was talking about the Corinthian church, about how they used to sin against God. How they were sinning against God and falling into judgment. Just like he said, the Corinthian church had an idea just because they were saved, they was born again, that they was forgiven, and that everything they'd done, it was all going to be okay. But he said, listen, everyone throughout the Bible who believed in God and followed God still fell into judgment if they did things wrong. So what's the difference between you and me? The Corinthian church believed that because of their freedom they had in Christ, their sin would not bring judgment upon them. And Paul said, look, beware, because God didn't spare Israel in the Old Testament. He's not going to spare you, nor. So we come to verse 4, and it says, therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak to you as wise men, judge for yourself what I say. Now, the Corinthian church, majority of them, was Gentiles. They was non-Jews. And before they become Christians, they was involved in pagan worship. They had all these foreign gods, the temple of Diana, and the temple of Artemis, and the temple of this, and the temple of that. And just like the Jews would make sacrifices, the pagans would go into the temples and they'd get involved in all sickly, rotten, filthy things that was part of their worship to their foreign gods. But also part of it was sacrifice. They make sacrifices to these idols. They make sacrifices to these statues. They have all these statues. Now, there was a god called Molech, and in the Old Testament, even the Jews sacrificed them. And what they would do is they'd take their firstborn babies, the firstborn sons, and they had a big bronze statue, and he had his arms open like that, and his hands open like a bowl, and they'd set a fire underneath this bronze statue till it glowed red, and they'd put their firstborn children in it. Sacrifice to their gods. These are the type of pagan people that the Corinthians used to be. All different sorts of sickly different things as part of their worship. But the problem that we've got is Paul begins to speak to them. He says, look, flee from idolatry. You've got saved, but some of them, they were still dabbling in their pagan life because it was a part of their lifestyle. When you become a Christian, did you find it hard to cut ties with your old lifestyle? I found it very, very hard to stop going to the pub and stop doing them sorts of things and or buying chorny stuff or telling lies when I went to work. I found it very, very hard because it was part of my culture. It was the way I was brought up. I never seen no harm in it. It was part of who I was. And all of a sudden I've got saved and Jesus has set me free. And the Bible tells me and the Holy Spirit convicts me I can't do them things anymore. This is what's happening here with these people. But their culture is different than ours. Their society is different than ours. Part of their culture is this pagan worship. These sacrifices to these idols in these temples. And they're still partaking in these sacrifices to these idols. And they're coming around the Lord's table and breaking bread. They've been set free, they're saved. But then on the next night, they're going to the temple because that's what they've always done. And getting with all their mates and sacrificing to idols. Paul warns the Corinthian church, flee from idolatry. Idolatry is the worship of anything other than God. So a statue or an idol, that's where we get the word idol, idolatry. It means the worship of them things, thinking that there's power in them things. Paul goes on to explain that they're just nothing. He says, flee from idolatry, have nothing to do with it and the idol worship. Paul explains to them that when they come around the Lord's table, he says that you are partakers of it. The cup of blessing with which you bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? Is it not the bread that we break? Is it not the communion of the body of Christ? What he's saying is that when we come around the Lord's table, we are partakers of that table. We come into fellowship with God. It's part of our fellowship with God. It's part of our obedience. It's something physical that we do. Even though we're saved and we're filled with the Spirit of God and we're born again believers and we have a testimony and we've been changed by the power of God, but there's something physically we do when we come around the Lord's table, even though it's only a bit of juice and a cracker, but it's what it represents, that when we eat that and drink that, we're saying, Lord, I accept that you died for me. Amen? I accept that you died for me. I accept that you rose from the dead. I accept that you're my saviour and you're also coming back to get me. But I'm going to be with you. We accept them things when we come around the Lord's table. And we do that just not as a ceremony or as a reminder, but it means something to us as Christians, doesn't it? It brings us into a fellowship with the Lord by accepting what Christ has done for us. It brings us into fellowship with God, but not only by remembering, but fellowshipping with his people. We gather together as a body and we do that as a body of believers. The Lord's table is a symbol of a new covenant in his blood. And upon salvation, we enter into that new covenant and fellowship with Christ. But Paul goes on and says in verse 18, observe Israel after the flesh. Are not those that eat of the sacrifice partakers of it? And I'll explain what's happening here. Do you remember in the Passover, when they come out of Egypt, and God said, right, slaughter the lamb, remember? Paint the blood over the doorpost and eat. But then not only that, when they come out of Egypt, they had to remember what God had done when God rescued them. So they sacrificed the lamb. But they not only sacrificed the lamb and partook of a ceremony, they had to eat the lamb. Each household had to sacrifice a lamb, and if a lamb was too much for one household, God said in Leviticus, bring another family in with you. Cook the lamb and eat every bit of it. Every single bit. because you will remember what I did for you when I brought you out of Egypt. And there was parts of that meal, that fellowship meal, that Passover, that was nice. You had a bit of roast lamb, didn't you? If you do all right next week, you'll have a bit of roast lamb, wouldn't you? It's nice, isn't it? Can you imagine what guts is like, an offal, and liver, and kidneys, and all that junk? Yeah, good old dude. Sorry, Bill, I'd rather have the lamb chop, you know what I mean? There was parts of it that was tasty, parts of it that probably wasn't so tasty. And it was to remember the things that they went through as they travelled through the desert and their relationship with the Lord. But there was a physical thing they had to do, just like when we come around the table, that helps us remember. There was a physical thing they had to do to help them remember what God did. And God says, do you not realise when Israel ate the lamb, they partook of the sacrifice? When you eat of it, when you partake in them worldly idols and them worldly sacrifices, in them temples that's been sacrificed to demons, you are partaking of a sacrifice to demons. Because that was part of their culture. Now I would say today that my culture before, my old life before I was a Christian, I never sacrificed to demons. I never went into pagan temples and sacrificed. Maybe there's people who was involved in that sort of thing beforehand. But what he was saying is it's the partaking that causes the problems. It's not the bit of stone that's been carved into a shape. It's the partaking of it. Because see, when you partake of those sacrifices, you're joining yourself to a demon. You're joining yourself to worshipping ungodliness and demonic things. Brothers and sisters, us who are born again, we've been set free. And we have this free life. And I want to ask you a question tonight. If the world is doing worldly things and we join in with them and partake in worldly things, are we not joining ourselves to the world? Are we not partaking of the world? Hallelujah, Jesus, I'm set free on one side, and then the next time we're partaking of the world and all the worldliness and all the rubbish. Be careful. I dare say none of us are going to go into a pagan temple and be part of a sacrifice to a foreign god. But what Paul is saying, the point is, when you partake of sin, you join yourself to it. What am I saying then, verse 19, he says, is an idol anything? Or what is offered to idols, is it anything? Rather that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than him? You can't do both. He's saying you can't do both. He said you can't go with your mates down to the temple of Diana and partake in all the sickness and the rottenness that they're doing down there and sacrifice them animals. And you're there, you're actually involved in it. And then come around the Lord's table. Because what the Bible does teach is separation, doesn't it? The Bible teaches separation. When I got saved, I could not live the same life that I used to live. When I got saved, I couldn't do the same things I used to do. And some of them things wasn't even my choice. Because what I mean by that, when I got filled with the Spirit of God, I didn't want to drink anymore. That might be different for you. Everybody's different. But I didn't want to be involved in them things anymore. God starts to clean us up a bit of time. I'll tell you what will happen if you give your life to Jesus, shall I? Your heart will be like a big hotel. And all the rooms in it are filthy, dirty, rotten. Do not enter. Rotten. And Jesus comes in. And he cleans up one room at a time, hallelujah. I'm a work in progress, hallelujah. I could not be the same man. He's saying, how can you do that and do that? He's telling the Corinthians, you can't have the best of both worlds. You can't be born again and sacrifice to demons. Brothers and sisters, it makes sense, doesn't it? How can I be a Christian and go and act like the world? How can I give God glory and swear and talk filth and tell filthy jokes at the same time? How can I say I love God and I'm gossiping about people? He says, an idol isn't anything. They're not nothing. They're bits of wood. They're statues. They're made of stone. He says, it's not even about the food, neither. The sacrifice itself ain't nothing, but it's what's behind it. Idol worship, demons, the worship of demonic spirits. When they go into the temples and they partake of these meals offered to idols, they fellowship with demons. And he's saying you can't do both things. And we understand that, don't we? Because what does the Bible say? You can't love God and money. Careful, listen to what I'm saying. You can't love God and love money. What does Jesus say will happen? Come on, what does Jesus say will happen if you love, try and love them both? You'll love one and hate the other, or despise one and go for the other. You can't, even the Bible teaches us all the way through that you can't love two things. Who was it who said, Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. When Israel was worshipping foreign gods and then coming in and making sacrifices to the Lord and worshipping foreign gods, and he said to them, listen, make your mind up. What do you keep going between two opinions for? Make your mind up. Make your choice what you want to do. If Baal was God, he said, worship Baal. Or if God is God, worship God. But you can't worship both. But he said, as for me and my house, we will worship the Lord. Hallelujah. He took a stand. Brothers and sisters, we have to take the stand. You can't partake in both things. Because what I'll end up doing, if you keep them sitting on the fence, loving the world, loving God. Loving the world, loving God. And by the way, I'm not talking about making mistakes. God is gracious. When I make mistakes, and I make loads of them. Vicky's not here tonight, but I'll see you when you see her. I make loads of mistakes. When I make mistakes, I repent of them things. They're not intentional things. But when you know that you belong to the Lord and you're partaking in worldliness, know this, you're joining yourself to that rubbish. And it might not be a pagan god, it might not be a sacrifice in a pagan temple, it might be a filthy joke. A conversation about someone who's had someone over that week and how nice a few quid they've had. Ungodly, worldly rubbish. It might be about some drug dealer and how they're getting on, how Christian they are. That's not Christian. We are Christians. It might be that the boys all went out the other night, I'd have all gone to Vegas, I don't look like I've had a good do. Oh, what happened? And all telling you about everything they was getting up and everything they was doing, and we're glorifying it. If I'm there in that conversation, and I'm saying, and for want of a better word, amen to it. Yeah, cushy, yeah, thumbs up. Somehow I started partaking in it. If you're somewhere where you shouldn't be, talking about something you shouldn't be talking about, or involved in something that you should be involved in, you know the best thing for you to do? Hole in the wall. Get out. Get to it. See you later, boys. Girls, see you later. We must understand what Paul's trying to say here. How do I apply what he's saying about these people going into these demonic places, partaking in demonic worship? How does that apply for me today? I'm not involved in them sorts of things. It wasn't part of my life before, and it's not going to be part of my life. But the point is it stands, the partaking, the agreeing with, the being part of. And I want to tell you something, that if I'm a part of worldliness, I'll end up being like the world, don't I? If I'm a part of ungodliness, I'll end up being ungodly. If I'm a part of an ungodly conversation, I'll end up talking like that all the time. Right? Be careful what you join yourself to and what you partake of. It says, and he changes the conversation. He talks about the freedom and how they should deal with that. He says in verse 23, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Now, Paul is saying that a Christian is free. So he's saying all things are lawful for you. You've been set free by Christ. We've been set free. I'm not bound by the law no more. I'm not bound by sin. I have my own conscience. I have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside me, and I should be able to decide on what's right or what's wrong. He says you're no longer bound by the law. But just because you're free to do as you want, it doesn't mean that all the things that you choose to do are good. Do you understand that? I'm free to go where I want. I've been for the last 18 months now. Do you know what I mean? At least. That was a joke, sorry. 45 roll line, right? Go where I want, right? What I'm saying is I'm free in Christ to do what I want. I can do what I want, go where I want. But it doesn't mean that I should. And what I mean by that is putting yourself into situations and places and things that don't benefit your Christianity. What he said, he said, all things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. All things are lawful for me, but not all things build up. I should do nothing that hinders my walk or hinders somebody else's walk. Just because I'm free to say what I want and do what I want, and Christ has set me free, he said to the Corinthian church, just because you're free, doesn't mean you should go and get, well, I've been set free, Christ set me free, I'm going to do what I want. Doesn't mean you should go and get involved in these things because you're hindering yourself. You're hindering the people around you. And the truth is this, I've known people say that I'm free in Christ and they live any sort of life they want. That's my favourite one. You're judging me. I ain't judging you, I'm telling you what the word says. If you use your freedom that you have in Christ to sin or to live unrighteously, then you're not free at all. And you never will be. Do we understand that? If we use the excuse of freedom just to do what we want, when we want, and hinder ourselves and hinder the people around us and stop people from coming from Christ and hinder our brothers and sisters in Christ, then we're not free at all. He says, let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Eat whatever is sold in the marketplace, asking no questions for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's, and all its fullness. If any one of those who do not believe invites you to dinner and you desire to go, eat what is ever set before you, asking no questions for conscience sake. But if anyone says to you, this was offered to idols, do not eat it for the sake of the one who told you, for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and all that is in it. I'll explain what's going on here. What he's saying is right. Imagine you're in a situation, they're kicking on, they must have been asking Paul these questions. Some still going to the temple, Paul. Can they still do this? Can we still do that? We get them questions today. As a Christian, am I allowed to do this? Am I allowed to do that? Everybody wants to know how far they can walk to the line or if they're doing something wrong. And the questions are genuine. There's nothing wrong with them questions. But he's saying what they was doing in these temples, they'd sacrifice all these animals to foreign gods. And they didn't want to get rid of the meat or throw it away because that would be a waste of money. So the next day, or that evening, after the sacrifice, the meat sellers from the market would come up to the foreign god temples, come to the idol worship temples, and buy the meat off them cheap. The cheek cuts, the paunches, the trotters, the tails. Imagine them things. They'd buy that. We get this a bit cheaper because it's already been sacrificed, it's already been killed, and the pagans don't want it. Then they bring it back down to the market and sell it. And he's saying, look, what do we do then? We can't partake in the idol worship in the temple. Paul's saying, no, not at all. But how about if we go to someone's place and eat a meal and they've bought the meat from the temple afterwards? He's saying, but you're not partaking of the worship, are you? It's only a piece of meat. The problem was being in the temple and agreeing with the sacrifices and being part of it. The problem ain't the meat. The problem is what you're joining yourself to. He's saying if someone invites you round for a meal and they're not they're not a Christian. And you're like this very religious person, oh no, I can't eat, I can't touch that. And then you go to their house for a meal and they offer you food, they give you what they've got. And you refuse it because of where they've got it from or who they are. He said, all you're doing is hindering them. You're hurting their conscience. You're stopping them. You might stop them from coming to the Lord. And I want to tell you something. You as a Christian, remember this. We are Christians first and gypsies and travellers second. We are Christians first. Have you ever, I was remember being in a meeting. We had a meeting in Old Charles Sutton and loads of people come and done food and it was packed. And I said to the traveller, man, get some of that ashkushti. And he went and made it. You know what he was thinking, didn't you? Who made it? So what difference has it made in made it? Eat it or don't eat it? Oh, no, so don't start all that in here. This is a church, we're born again. And I'll tell you something. You know Jesus would eat off of anybody. And you know us, his disciples, should eat and drink off of anyone for the sake of the Lord. Does that mean when I go into a calf and the man's picking his nose, I've got to sit down and eat? No, because I'm paying that man. I'm paying him. But when your brothers and sisters invite you round, don't matter who they are or what they've got, they're giving it to you out of the goodness of their heart, you don't refuse rank. And I'll tell you this now, and I've said to the boys now who come visiting and come witnessing with me, if we go witnessing and we go visiting and someone offers you a cup of tea, you won't have it because you think they're cheaply, you don't come witnessing or visiting no more. You're better off staying home. And I mean that. Because when people, for the sake of the gospel, we don't hinder someone's conscience. Listen, look at me. I can get some in me, honestly, I can. I've never refused anything in my life, right? I've never been nowhere and found it a bother to eat. This is the truth, right? I've never said, well, are you hungry? Sure I am, and I. Do you know what I mean, right? Come on. But I remember we were witnessing before, and the old man made us a cup of tea, and there was fur around the top of the cups. Was that right or not? Fur. I'm not talking about dust, I'm talking about fur. Like the moustache around the top of the cup. You hear that? Let it do. And you thought about accepting Jesus Christ, your Lord and Saviour. Brothers and sisters, what he's saying, for the sake of that person's conscience, for the sake of winning them to Jesus. Brothers, listen to what I'm saying. I remember we went witnessing, and I'm being honest with you. I know these are real things. And there was a brother, he's very weak stomached, very particular fellow. He can't help it. He's not being thin. He says, look, I'm nobody. I'm just a very weak stomach fella. And I said, if we go witnessing, whatever anyone gives you, receive it and take it with thanksgiving for the sake of the gospel. And so a woman come out and said, young, you boys, look, no, we're all right. For now, I make you saint. And she give him a cold baked bean sandwich. Baked beans in a piece of bread. And listen, let me tell you something. I don't know that could have been all that woman had. She was willing to give it. Listen, it's not a bother for me, is it? I swallowed it like a smarty when a bother me, you know what I mean? Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, eat that, you know. And this brother, fair play to him, he got it in. No, listen, he got it in. You know who witnessed to that woman and had a time with that woman who sat and witnessed to that woman? Unbelievable. The way we live and the things we do and the way we act should not hinder anyone from coming to Christ. That doesn't mean I'm not going to make mistakes. I've probably done loads of things that people looked at me and gone, dick it in. But he's saying you purposely shouldn't hinder someone. Now we know, listen, Gypsy and traveller people, you know what it's like. These Jewish culture, they went round or in this world, in this pagan culture, these Gentiles, like it is to us. What would you think of someone if someone come to your place and listen, you know what I'm going to say, and you want a cup of tea in a minute now, right? I listen, it wouldn't bother me, I just think I ain't got to make my cup of tea now, I'm saying it, you know what I mean? But for the women, what would you think? It would, you might come in here, I've had women say it to me, what's the matter? And then say it again, no, you must think I'm chickly. Really, they're Ripley. Can't work out my what a person I get a cup of tea. Don't refuse anybody. He's saying, if you go to someone's place and they offer you food, that's nothing. It's been sacrificed to an idol, though. An idol ain't nothing. Just don't go up there and partake of the ceremony. Don't get involved in it. But the meat, eat with thanksgiving. And then he asks the other question. How about if a brother comes to you and says, you're eating meat off of idols, then for his sake, don't eat it. If it's a problem to win, listen, people can have a go at you all the time about the things you do. But if there's something genuine that you're doing, the way you're working, the way you're living, the way you speak, the way you carry on or I carry on is hindering people from coming to Christ or growing in Christ, then we should not do it. Let no one seek his own, but each one for the other's well-being. Not for your conscience, not for your own conscience, but for the other. This is why, as my liberty judge, that a man's conscience is earth. But partake with thanks. Why am I evil spoken of? For the food over which I give thanks. Therefore, if you eat or drink, whatever you do, do to the glory of God. Give no offence either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God. Just as also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. He said, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. And make sure whatever you do, let it bring glory to the Lord. Whether they're unsaved, saved, travellers, gorgeous, gypsies, whatever they want to call themselves, whoever they are, do all for the glory of God, that person might be saved. Or if they're already saved, that they might grow with the Lord. That we shouldn't be hindering one another. We shouldn't be hindering the lost, and we shouldn't be hindering one another because of culture, or because of how we bring up, or because of our opinions, or because one thinks one is better than the other. I want to tell you something tonight. That the God I serve is so interested in souls that he would teach his children, don't do anything that would stop them from coming to me. I want to tell you tonight that the God of Islam or Confucius or Buddha or any other religion you see, that the things that they worship that are false is not interested in mankind. And I tell you how I know the reason why. Because a religion would teach you this, that you have to be a good Catholic or a good Muslim or a good Buddhist, and then you might go to heaven, you might go to paradise, or wherever Buddhists go, you might come back as something cushy in reincarnation. They teach all the way down the line that there is a stairway to heaven, but you have to chisel it out by hand. You have to make it there. You have to get this right and do that right and be perfect here, and you have to do confirmation, or you have to go and tell people about Islam. You have to blow yourself up and make to get into paradise. A religion teaches, false religion teaches, that man can earn his way into heaven. It's all based on good works. That if you do this at this point, you're one step closer. If you do that, and you have to earn your way to heaven. But let me tell you something about the God of the Bible. Let me tell you something about the Jesus of the Bible, like my sister Katie was saying. This Jesus. Because you might have a Jesus that you believe in. You might have something that you've been brought up to believe in, or a way of going on. It might be your gypsy, a traveller, your granny told you, your grandfather told you, your mother and father, or whatever. You might have a belief in God. But let me tell you about the Jesus of the Bible. He said that no man is saved. No man can get himself in heaven. In fact, he said all are sinners and all are lost for eternity. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. When the Bible talks about death, it talks about an eternity in hell. The wages of sin is death. But it says, the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. That my Jesus was God in heaven, worshipped by angels, beside the throne of God, the Son of God, eternal always, worshipped by angels. And the Bible says that he came to earth and he was born and laid in a manger as a baby. He was helpless and he lived a normal life. He overcame sin as a man. And the Bible says that when he got to a certain age, he started his ministry and he was lied and told lies about, and they arrested him by night and they found him guilty of a crime that he did not commit. This is the precious Son of God, the Lamb of God. Jesus never hurt no one. He never went to war. Muhammad went at 80 wars. Jesus never killed one person. He never had one war. In fact, he said, love your enemy, the Lamb of God, the Son of God. Let me tell you about this Jesus, that he was crucified and hung upon a cross and shed his precious blood, that I might and you might have forgiveness of our sins. And he was laid in a tomb dead. And 3 days later, he rose from death to life. Hallelujah. He come alive again. That I might have forgiveness of my sins.
Religion tells you that you have to get your way to heaven by doing A, B, C and D. The Bible teaches us that I can do nothing. And God seeing me helpless. And God seeing me without hope. Without a chance. Without no way of getting myself into heaven. Come to this earth and he become like me. He become a man. He made himself the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He made himself nothing. And he walked this earth. And he spoke the truth. And he loved everybody. And they crucified him. And he laid down his life. That I might have forgiveness. That's the Jesus of the Bible. And I ask you a question tonight. Do you know that Jesus? I believe in Jesus. I'm not talking about believing in Jesus. Do you know that Jesus? Do you want to get to know that Jesus? Because he wants to get to know you. The God that I serve is so concerned about souls. Not only would he die for them, but he would teach his children, do nothing to harm any of them. Do what's best for everybody, not just yourself. Don't hurt one another or lord yourself over one another. Don't hurt another man for the sake of what you believe and think you're free to do. The God that I serve loves all people. And the Bible says this, all those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You're a sinner tonight before the living God. If you don't know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you're a sinner. Do you want to get to know this Jesus? Because this Bible does more than talk about him. It says that we can know him. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you, my God, and I praise you. And I give you all glory, Lord, for there is none like you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, you bless, Lord, tonight. That you'd set the captive free, Lord. I pray, Lord, tonight, that you'd just have your way and pour out your spirit, my God. The Lord, tonight, Lord, you convict the heart and bring all people unto yourself. And tonight, Lord, that we would draw closer to you, Lord, and know you.